Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson, here with today's Midday Interview. This is one of the most fun things to do, is get a couple of artists in the studio and ask them to talk about their work, because most of the visual artists that I have interviewed are like, well, but my work is how I communicate. You know, I don't really talk about it. I let other people talk about it. I just do it. And then I drag them in here and I say, tell us about your work. So today I have Diane House and Shannon Bourne. They are currently exhibiting together in our MC Ernie Gallery here at WHQR, an exhibit called Interconnections that runs through February 7th. But one of the best times to see it is this Friday. Friday from 6 to 9 in the evening, we'll have snacks, we'll have wine, and it's Fourth Friday Gallery Night. So you can stop by 254 North Front Street and also wander all around the downtown area and go to other galleries. But enough from me. I'm going to make these artists talk. Diane House and Shannon Bourne, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome, Jamila.
Did you two name this exhibit Interconnections, or was the name given to you? Had you worked together before?
I'm crediting Shannon with that. We threw a few emails back and forth of names, and Shannon came up with Interconnections.
Uh-huh.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I think after seeing Diane's work and some of the work I'd done previously on a thesis for graduate school, I started realizing there was a lot of connection between both of our work, and just sort of seemed like the title fit what we're trying to do, not only subject matter, but medium and the way we work and the mark making that we do. It just, on many different levels, that name seemed to fit everything we were doing.
We'll circle back to this after we've talked about your work individually to see how it comes together. But you even just mentioned something, mark making. What did you mean by that, Shannon?
Just the way both of us work in terms of way we put information down on whether it's paper or canvas, and it's the style maybe of brush stroke that we use, or in my case, the marks I might make with an etching needle or pencil pen when I'm drawing what will later become a plate or a woodcut. And Diane is very loose and free in a lot of her mark making, and I worked that same way too, so that was kind of a nice thing to find out.
So you have some similarities, but you have some differences, some contrasts.
Definitely.
In the way that you work.
And we've never met until
right.
this. We've had mutual friends for years and didn't realize it until
and
our first meeting.
Oh, I just love that. Mm-hmm. That's happened a lot. Mary Bradley, our development director, but she also works with the gallery, as does Michelle Crouch, our graduate fellow. They pair artists,
right.
and sometimes it's really astonishing
right.
the synergy that comes from that.
Right.
Diane, let's talk first with you about your work. First of all, when people walk in the gallery, probably the first thing they notice is that the entire north wall, it's like a triptych, isn't it? It's a really large
mural size.
My
mother came to see the show, and I enjoyed her comment after. I said, what did you think? She says, I don't know. When I stepped off the elevator, I expected someone to go, ta-da, there it was. And I'm hoping everybody gets that initial experience of feeling ta-da. And sometimes mural size work will do that.
Yes.
That particular painting is titled The Quest for the Echo Source. And it was inspired really actually from a dream that I had in North Carolina before I moved here. I was still living in Atlanta. And that dream was followed up probably 2 weeks later, the tsunami that hit from the Indian Ocean in 2004.
Mm.
So that painting was a result of that experience. A lot of my paintings come from foretelling dreams, really, and synchronicity. The dream I had was a canoe that floated down a river. It was the longest dream. I woke up, I thought, wow, that is a symbol of something. I don't know what. And it stayed with me. And about 2 weeks later, I was in North Carolina on the Black River visiting somebody. And in the sawmill was a canoe. It was a hand-carved cypress canoe. I said, wow, the one from my dream. The man said, you want it? It's been sitting here for years. You can have this canoe.
Wow.
It was carved about 50 years ago. I brought it back to Atlanta. And things unfolded from there.
Oh,
so that
my.
Image is in that particular painting.
Yes, and you mentioned the tsunami. When you walk into the gallery, you will see on that mural-sized painting this huge wave. And in it are people caught in the wave. And then
right.
there's also the canoe that
right.
is there. Other figures that you
right.
may see, we won't even tell you. We'll let you look
right.
for them when you come.
Right. Symbols that emerged on their own, that part of the creative process. I worked on it for 3 months and let emerge what emerged. The central figures are from the news that night. I'd seen a couple who had just found their 4-year-old son who had drowned and had pulled him out. And it was such an anguished global feeling you have of shared pain when you see something like that, that
yes.
that became the image of the painting. And I worked through it with different symbolism
yeah,
to
yeah.
what I called finding redemption in such tragedies and in that particular piece.
And to me, you know, having had some training many years ago in shamanism, there is that idea of the spirit canoe or the spirit boat that does take the soul across.
Right. And also I thought of it, a type is the womb, you know, an empty vessel, the womb. And that's why I took the woman's body to become...
It becomes the canoe.
The canoe.
Right. Oh, now you have lots of other paintings in the exhibit, and we'll come back and see what we can say about them. Mm-hmm. But if you're just joining us, you've been hearing Diane House, one of the artists featured in the current exhibition at WHQR called Interconnections. Now, Shannon Bourne, I'd like you to talk about your work. Describe some of the pieces that people might see and what medium and what inspires you, like Diane was saying.
Sure, Jamila. I am primarily a printmaker, but as I've progressed with my art, I've started to branch out a little bit, and I'm finding that textures and colors and just more the emotional feeling that I get from a subject matter is becoming more important than realistically rendering something. And I think I was very excited when I saw Diane's work, because I knew she did a lot of printmaking, but when I saw this very large size mural that was beautiful, it just freed me to experiment a little bit before our show opened, and I ended up creating a few paintings and new pieces based on her large mural. And it's been a great just experiment doing the show, and it's kind of pushed my boundaries a little bit. And typically I do stay in the realms of etching and woodcut and lithography, but as I mentioned, it's been great to get the paints out and then start combining printmaking with other mediums. And the new thing I've started playing around a lot with is collography or collographs, which are great, and they're a little bit different from traditional printmaking in that I build a plate from found materials in nature. So I actually have a matrix, a flat piece of board or plexiglass that I then glue all types of things down from and then coat that with varnish, ink it up, and print it in a traditional printmaking way on an etching press. And so you get a lot of wonderful surprises, but all of the traditional printmaking elements are there, but you're sort of going out more into a painterly realm, and certainly use of more color, and not something I typically do. So it's been fun just to play. How a lot of failures, but some when you get a success, it's worth it.
And that's so much of what artistic growth is about, and artistic expression is just doing it and doing it and seeing what happens, and not always in your control. It feels like, oh my God, this painting is turning into something I didn't expect. So it's just honoring the process as well as the product. How did you get drawn to lithography and etching? And I mean, I can see someone going to a museum and saying, wow, I'd like to be able to paint like that. What pulled you into the printmaking?
I'm going to have to credit Donald First, who teaches at UNCW, with poisoning me with this obsession. honestly, I had gone back to school after having kids, and I've worked in the film business for a very long time, and found myself with two young ones at home, and decided to go back and take some classes. And I did work in the art department in films prior to returning to school, but it was great just to go back and focus only on painting and drawing. And I had to take the required printmaking class as part of the curriculum at UNCW. And I think a lot of people who are true printmakers will freely say, the minute we crossed the threshold and smelled that etching ink, we're hooked. And that's pretty much what happened. Don First is just an amazing resource to people, you know, who are interested in the medium in this town. And students at UNCW are so lucky to be able to have him. And he just was a huge influence on me. And, you know, when you get into something like that, I do have a marine biology background way back.
But
I think a lot of that shows up in my art. I do have a love of nature and animals and systems, biological systems. And printmaking is very methodical, and there's a lot of process involved, and I think probably 75% of the time I'm more interested in process than the outcome of a piece. And I do have painter friends that, you know, they see what I labor through with etch times and all the bits that come with printmaking and the planning and scheduling, and they are horrified. They are not interested in that because they want to be more spontaneous. And you know, so there's a balance. You have to find a way to be methodical with your printmaking but still allow yourself to have that bit of creativity. And Don's a great example of that. His mezzotints are beautiful, and he has just recently started branching more into lithography, and he did a great residency out in Tamarind, which is, for printmakers, our kind of dream place that we all hope to go one day. So anyway, he continues to inspire, and Good. It's great to have those teachers in your past that you can still contact.
Absolutely. We just have a minute left. I do want to remind our listeners that Fourth Friday Gallery Night is this Friday from 6 to 9. Come by and have a glass of wine, some snacks, and enjoy the artwork of Diane House and Shannon Bourne. The exhibit together with them is called Interconnections. And just in a few words, tell us how that really describes what the exhibit is about. How are you interconnected? How is your work interconnected?
I think it probably is beyond imagery. I mean, there is some of that, definitely. I think of interconnection, it really is the spirit of two artists who are meeting. And just hearing Shannon talk about her work now,
yes.
You know, and like you mentioned, the creative process. And I feel the same way. It's more about doing it than what comes out. And just hopefully people enjoy what they see once.
And you spoke, Diane, about your soul and being the source, your dreams and your soul being the source for your paintings. And Shannon, you spoke about your heart and your heart being touched by things, and then you want to express that. So it's a heart and a soul and a spiritual connection.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Thank you both so much for coming in today.
Yay. It's been our pleasure.
Oh, goodness. See, now artists can talk about the work. It's wonderful.
We wish we had more time.
Oh, well, everybody should come Friday night and get to meet these two wonderful artists and admire their work and talk with them about how their work makes you feel, because they're always interested in that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamila.
This is WHQR.